If it smells like shit, you are in the right place. You are listening to The Prodwackers, hosted by David and Craig. Enjoy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's The Prodwackers, episode 14. How's it going, man?
It's going good, other than our usual Saturday technical difficulties. Feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Why don't you run down to your morning so far?
Yeah, my morning involved, I woke up at 3:10 a.m. this morning. I don't want to say for reasons unknown, but just to give a quick rundown, this wasn't on our agenda. Quick funny story. For those of you who know me that listen, which is probably no one other than the other guy on the other side of the mic. I grew up on a farm, and being a farm boy, going outside when nature calls, you just whip it out and take a pee. So to back up just a little bit, last night around 10 o'clock, I take the dog out, standing outside, stretching, getting ready to go to sleep. Got done working on some sounds. Dog's out running around the yard. It's pitch black out. I have my own little secret spot out there. I live in town now, but I had to whiz. I'm not going to come in. Dog's outside running around. Whipped it out, took a whiz. Wouldn't you know it, the humidity and the heat and everything. The mosquitoes are real bad, so yeah. Didn't think anything of it. Come in, lay down, go to sleep. Wake up about 3 o'clock this morning. Itching like fucking crazy. Yeah. So to wrap this story up really quick, I woke up at 3:10 in the morning because I had a mosquito bite on my cock, and it was itching like a motherfucker.
Oh my god. Everyone thinks you're probably over there rubbing one out, and you're just scratching your junk furiously. That's what you get for sending that gif around on Twitter.
Oh, the one with the guy ringing the bell at the football game?
Yeah.
I think that guy's our mascot, actually.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah, for anybody who hasn't seen that, there's a gif Craig keeps throwing at people on Twitter, and it's this guy ringing this bell, but it looks like he's just like going to town on himself as hard as he can and as fast as he can. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't scratch quite that fast or that hard, but I'm going to try to keep the scratching to a minimum so it doesn't pick it up on the mic this morning.
That sucks, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So on the flip side of that, I slept through two alarms and didn't wake up until 5:30 when we normally try and start recording at 5. And part of that is because my son decides to take naps at like 3:30 or 3 instead of at like a normal hour when you would, and he ends up like staying up until 10 o'clock at night. Mind you, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning almost daily. So like I'm dying by 9. I'm like ready for bed. And this kid's just going crazy. And then my wife got up at like 3 or 3:30 to go to the bathroom, and it woke me up, and then I just must have fallen back into like the deepest sleep of all time. So
it happens.
Rough morning.
Yeah, rough morning for both of us. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, I slept through the alarm too, so.
You did.
Nope.
Actually, you said you didn't set the alarm. You were watching the NBA Finals, and you forgot to set your alarm and just went to bed.
That's right, yeah. But I woke up in a frenzy at like 5:30, like, oh shit.
That's exactly what I did. I woke up and I looked at my watch. I usually sleep with my watch on and use it as like a silent alarm. And I woke up with it, and I was, I looked down and it said, I have like an alert from Gmail from Podwackers. I'm like, what? What the fuck is that? And then I look at the time and it says 5:30. And I'm like, oh, shit. Get out of bed and run downstairs as fast as I can.
Yeah, I assumed that that's what happened. So I was trying to get things figured out on my computer, but
yeah, it's all good. You're having a cluster F on your side anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it was a hell of a morning. Yeah, so we got a pretty good jam-packed show today. So we're gonna talk about quite a few things locally here in Ohio, which is always good. And one of those being the Ohio law that's being kicked around of banning underage sexting. So it would ban sexting for anybody under the age of 19. And the Ohio House voted unanimously in favor of House Bill 355, and that would be a bill that prohibits anyone younger than 19 from sexting and establish a second chance program for anybody who has a first-time offender. So that's kind of interesting. I feel like this is just stupid. I don't know about you. It just seems kind of dumb on the surface.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of a moot point because I'm reading through the article too, and it says that House Bill 355 seems frivolous given that it's already illegal in Ohio to send, receive, or view explicit photos of a minor on your phone. So the activity of sending those kind of pictures or tweets or whatever, for someone under 18, it's already illegal. But I love the line right before that. It says, as long as you're 18 or older, it's perfectly legal to perform in pornography or consent to sexual activities. So it's a little peculiar to have a law banning consensual nude photo sharing between legally of age adults.
Yeah. Well, I think the play there is 18-year-olds in high school. And right. So it's like trying to avoid the potential of sharing of photos from those who are 18 and still in high school, because, you know, you hear of dudes who are 30 or 40 getting, you know, naughty pictures on their phone that like to go share them with people, let alone 18-year-old kids, you know, that's going around school as soon as that kid gets that,
right?
You know, they're passing that shit around. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's really stupid. Like, do we really have to legislate morons to this extent?
Yeah, I think we do. I don't know what it is, but everybody needs to have their hand held nowadays. It's just a complete and total snowflake mentality. I don't know what the problem is or why people can't think for themselves or rationalize anything in their mind as right or wrong. It's just crazy to me. And it's probably good that we didn't have cell phones when I was in school. Just show my age a little bit, because I'm not saying that I would have sent said photos of mosquito bitten wieners, but we had a couple dumbasses when I was a senior in high school, and I swear to God, they were probably 22 or 23. So it's hard to say what those idiots would have done.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know. What I find interesting though, is just that like you have to make like you said, it's already illegal for you to send pornography,
right,
to underage people. But I mean, the other part of this is it doesn't stop kids from sexting each other.
No, I mean,
well, I guess the bill also says no person under the age of 19 shall purposely create, produce, distribute, present, transmit, post, exchange, disseminate, or possess through a telecommunications device any sexually explicit digital material when the person is not more than 4 years older than the minor depicted. So is it still a crime if someone sends a dick pic that lasts for 10 seconds and the recipient doesn't screenshot?
Yeah, it's still illegal depending on who the recipient is or who actually sent the photo.
Yeah, that was actually a question in the article. I thought that was kind of fascinating that they have to go to this length to legislate these things. I think it gets a little ridiculous. I know I've heard of some cases where people get charged with like disseminating child pornography and they're all underage.
Right.
And that to me seems a bit ridiculous. I don't know why we're so hell-bent on legislating human nakedness. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. What the fuck does... I mean, I understand trying not to have child porn, like real legit child porn. But like if these kids are all in high school together and you're not, and it's not like revenge porn kind of stuff where you're like maliciously sending photographs or, you know, of people in compromising positions and things that you shouldn't be, that you weren't given permission to do. I understand that 100%. And I think that there should be laws around that if there aren't already, that, you know, stop you from doing something stupid like that. But on the flip side, I think that if you are, say you're in high school and you know you're like 17 and you're dating a freshman and she's like 14 or 15 and you guys decide that you're going to send each other naked pictures of each other. I mean, what do I really care at the end of the day if it's between the two of you? Now, I think the law needs to be more about adults sending those things, you know? And that's where it gets a little hairy because you do have, like I said, 18-year-olds in high school with younger kids, right? But I think that should also be part of it. Like if you're 18 and in high school at the time of the event, then you should be considered a minor in that regard. Because that just makes sense to me. That's where you are in life, right? If you're 18 and out of high school and then you're sending pictures to somebody who's not, it gets a little hairy because you could have been dating somebody who was a grade below you. You go on to college and you're still together with that person, and then you move on, and but you're still dating. Like, it gets a little fuzzy, right?
I think it does. There's so many things there that to consider. The big thing in today's the way things are going with kids today, the cyberbullying thing is huge. And you get those kind of pictures where they're sending them between each other, where it's minor sending a picture to a minor. Yeah, honey, funny, laugh at it, whatever, you know, kind of as a joke. But on the flip side of that, you get somebody that's pissed off at somebody else and says, "Hey, do you got, you got a picture of little Joey's wiener I can have?" Yeah,
Macho
great.
Man is well hung.
But and then you get into this revenge.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
All right. You get into this revenge porn type of thing where somebody gets it and they're looking to do harm with it. They're going to send it out to people that anybody and everybody they can to embarrass that person, right? So then you get into the cyberbullying side of things.
Yeah, and that's where I think the legislation needs to mostly focus, right? It's on those kinds of things, and rather than trying to focus on actually just sending like your significant other at the time, you know, naked pictures. Like, who cares? I don't care, you know. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, like I said earlier, and you know, and as long as you're not sending unwanted pictures, like if I'm like 18 or 19 and I'm sending them to people I went to high school with, and that's a little creepy, and nobody wanted it in the first place. Like, I understand that, but I don't know. I don't think that banning based on the age of 19 is the way to do it. I almost think that you need to, there almost needs to be like a little bit of an age range kind of thing, you know, where if you could have been in high school with that same person, then we need to talk about that. 'Cause you do get into that weird area, and there are people in college who date high school people. It just happens, you know. You have those losers who can't score a college chick, so they have to go pretend they're cool to the high school kids.
It's one of the most famous movie lines of all times. That's why I love these high school chicks, because I keep getting older and they stay the same age.
That's right. Yeah. And the high school crowd,
I know your mustache is cool.
They like those mustaches, man. They're just not the same.
I play that clip for my son all the time because he's 14 and getting his little cool mustache going on.
Oh, dude, I
So
bet he grows a better mustache than I do. I promise you that. I seriously I just decided to grow a beard for real. And so you know, it took me, I'm 30. So it took me until 30 to get to the point where my facial hair seemed relevant enough on my face to form an outline of what could possibly be a beard. But my fear is, as it grows longer, it's just gonna look puby.
All I can say to that is you don't know how lucky you are, I guess, that that's a problem for you.
No. Oh, I'd rather have that problem where you're like more hairless than like over hairy.
Yeah, because I've been a fucking gorilla since I've been about 15. I probably started shaving when I was 16, and it sucks.
I mean, like I had to start shaving around then, but that was mostly because I had sparse hairs on my face that made me just look like an idiot.
Look like Beavis when he was trying to glue hair to his face.
Yeah,
Chop off
exactly.
the head.
Exactly, 100%. That's exactly how it was. And yeah, so actually, I think I can. Wait. Yeah, here, you can judge my beard. I think I can turn on the Hangouts camera. Let's see. Yeah. How's my beard looking, man? See this?
Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
I grow an Amish beard where my whole neck fills in real good, but then my cheeks look ridiculous.
Yeah, it's filling in pretty good.
It's okay enough where you can get away with it and not look like a complete idiot. But we'll see how it goes here in another couple weeks. It's kind of itchy right now.
Right. No, they're always itchy. If you can get past that, I'd say it usually, for me, it usually takes about 2 weeks to get past that stage, but once you get past the itchy stage, you're usually good to go.
That's how it feels less itchy by the day. Yeah, it was funny because I was telling my wife about that. My son has like a really hairy back. Like, it's really bizarre. He has like this dark brown hair between his shoulder blades and up through his neck and a little bit down to like the middle of his back. And neither one of us are very hairy. So when he was born, he had hair on his ears and he looked like a wolf man. And his head, he had a full head of hair. Like, he was just so freaking hairy. And he still is. And so I was laughing. I said, he's going to be able to grow a beard before I can. And she started laughing. And then, she was like, yeah, it's just weird because, like, no one in my family is really that hairy. And I said, yeah, no one in my family is either. And, like, for me, I have literally, not kidding you, dude, one chest hair.
Oh, dude.
Just one. And I told her, I go, but that's the way I like it. I don't want chest hair. It's kind of gross. So,
Yeah, you're lucky.
yeah. And so, she was just laughing hysterically. I'm like, dude, this kid's gonna be a shaving by the time he's 10 years old and have a full-on beard. Like, there's no way.
It's all genetic, and it's hard to say where it came from. It could have been somebody in the family somewhere. I mean, it doesn't even matter what side of the family it came from. It's just one of those things.
Oh yeah, it's just funny to us because like I said, neither one of us are very hairy people. Like, I mean, I have like a normal amount of body hair. Like, my arms have like a normal amount of hair and my legs, but like not overly hairy. But then like my chest, like none. My back, none. My face, barely any. But man, I got some fucking fuzzy eyebrows, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. The mysteries of body hair.
That's right.
Yeah, the beard's growing in pretty solid, but I'm a little bit miffed at that because what you showed me in the little screen share there, I probably wake up in the morning and mine looks like that.
I know,
So
dude. This is like, I don't know, a week and a half of really hard work.
Nikes, week and a
Yeah.
half, I would look like an Amishman.
Oh, dude. I do. It is kind of Amish, though. My wife was like, why don't you shave like underneath your neck? So you just have like the cheeks and like the goatee and the chin thing going on. And I'm like, because that's the best part of my beard. I can't take that away, it'll ruin it.
Can't take away the volume. I'm gonna throw some conditioner in that shit and get it nice and smooth.
That's right. I need to get some beard wax and start combing it. That's what I should do. I should buy like a mini comb and just like sit on the couch and just like wax my beard one morning when she comes down. She would lose her shit if she saw
That's awesome.
all six face hairs I have.
Yeah.
I told her yesterday. I said it's a defining moment in my life. I can finally grow the beard of a high schooler.
You can't dig on the Amish beard too much though, because LeBron's got the full-on Amish fucking handlebar mustache or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, dude, he's like a handlebar chin strap. I don't know what
All
he's got going
under.
on. It was almost like he said, "Well, the hairs on my head are going away, so I'm just gonna let them like force their way out of my chin." It's weird looking.
Yeah,
I
I had
mean,
a couple.
it looks cool on him, but I couldn't like, you can never pull something like that off.
Right. A couple more years, I have a feeling he's going to be cutting his hair extra short, or maybe even go the MJ route, just shave it.
He should give it up, man. It's long gone. But the benefit he has is that he's 6 foot 8, so like basically everybody he knows can't see the top of his head.
Yeah, for somebody to see the top of his head, you have to be almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you don't even have to worry about it. Yeah. So, oh man, good stuff. All
Yeah.
right. Well, the other thing that we had kind of teased from last week, we talked about checking on the Halloween trailer because I know you hadn't seen it yet, and I had. So we're gonna do a little experimentation here where we're gonna play the trailer, and I'm gonna try and screen share with you so that you can watch it and hear it at the same time I do, and we can give our reactions. So it's pretty badass. So hold on a second here as I try and share out my screen.
Yeah, let's try it.
Let's test this bad boy out and see what's going on here. So, you see Safari? All right, cool. So, here we go. I'm gonna full screen this guy. All right, so we're gonna play the Halloween trailer. So this is the new Halloween movie that's coming out in October 19th this year. It's going to be a direct sequel to the original Halloween, starring Jamie Lee Curtis again. And it looked pretty badass, but Craig hadn't seen the trailer yet, so I thought we should do a live reaction for him. So here we go.
I've waited for him.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed three innocent teenagers on a Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night. And has spent the last 40 years in captivity. Hello, Michael. I have something you might like to see.
Everyone in my family like turns into a nutcase this time of year. Yeah, I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape?
What the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
Dad, look out!
The bus crashed.
Mom, what bus crashed?
Michael escaped. I've waited for him.
Excuse me, somebody's in here.
Hello?
For this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out of the room! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael!
You should.
Can you close the closet door?
All right, so there it is. What'd you think?
Man, I'm actually can't wait to see that, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Just the production quality is, I mean, obviously the last movie came out so long ago, but the production quality is off the hook.
Oh, dude. There's so many good things that happened in this trailer that I was so pumped when I watched it the day it came out. I probably watched it 6 times in a row, at least.
Yeah.
There's just so many Easter eggs in there. So it opens up with like a little mini like pre-trailer thing, and then it goes into the trailer. I don't know why they do that, but it's kind of bizarre. So they show Michael at the sane asylum again, so Smith's Grove Sanitarium, where he starts out. I guess he doesn't really start there. He gets put in Smith's Grove Sanitarium after he kills his sister in the original. When he was a 6-year-old boy, he kills his sister and goes to the insane asylum. And that's where he breaks out from him and, becomes Michael Myers and goes and kills everybody. And so he's back there again, and there's a film crew who's doing like a documentary or something on him, and they show up with his mask and show it to him. And then, you know, from there, everything kind of goes crazy. But my favorite part of that trailer, well, there's two favorite parts for me. One is when there's a point in the trailer where you see there's a dead body of a mechanic. So he gets his coveralls, and then he walks over to, there's a restroom, and one of the documentary crew, the woman who's like interviewing, she's sitting in the stall, and he reaches over and drops a handful of teeth on the floor. And then he just starts going nuts getting into the stall.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. That 10 seconds where he puts his hand over the top of the stall, all those teeth hit the ground, and you see the blood running off his hand down the stall door. Holy Christ.
Oh, man, that was so good. It's just different. Like, it's so different from, like, some of the other things you see. It's different, but it's not, you know? It's like, it's the same. They do a lot of throwbacks to a lot of the sequels, even though they're not, you know, they're ignoring them. They throw back to them in a lot of these things, and that's what's so cool. And you also hear, you know, Laurie's granddaughter in this movie, and they talk about how her and Michael were brother and sister, because that was introduced in Halloween 2, the original Halloween 2 sequel, not the Rob Zombie one, and not, you know, not this one. And that they are changing. He's no longer her brother anymore. They're not brother and sister in this movie, which that's how John Carpenter originally wrote the movie. He threw that into the sequel just randomly. Didn't really want to, but was just trying to get it done. He owed them a script for the sequel. He didn't even want to do the sequel. He didn't intend on having a follow up to the original. So I thought that was kind of neat. The other scene that I love in that movie, in that trailer, is you see a bedroom, and there's a person sitting in a chair with a sheet over their head that looks like a ghost, except if you look on the floor, there's just blood everywhere. So, you know, they're obviously a dead body under there. And that's kind of a throwback to, I think, a couple different sequels. Well, to the original, where he comes in the room dressed, wearing a sheet like a ghost. I don't know if you recall that scene from the first movie.
I do vaguely.
That's one of the most iconic scenes, I think, in the original, is when he kills Linda's boyfriend in that movie, and then comes upstairs wearing a sheet with his glasses over it. And she thinks it's Bob, her boyfriend, but it's Michael, and he ends up strangling her with a phone and kills her. And and in this one, you know, it's kind of a throwback to that, but also I think it's a throwback to Halloween 4, where there's a dude sitting in a rocking chair kind of thing, one of the police officers, I believe, and he'd been killed by Michael, and somebody comes down and discovers him sitting in the rocking chair. So I think it's kind of like a combination of both of those. So it's pretty cool. It's filled with a ton of Easter eggs like that. I love it. I'm so pumped for this movie. I haven't been pumped for a movie like this in a long time.
No, it looks like it's going to be really, really good. And one of the scenes in the trailer that I liked too was, it just caught my eye, is he's walking down the street where they're actually having trick or treat, and he's bumping into all these little kids. They don't even know who they're bumping into.
that's a throwback to the original. In the original movie, after he escapes, he has his coveralls on, and I think it might be the first time you see him after like that night where he escapes, and he's walking down, and he's following little Tommy Doyle, and he turns a corner, Tommy does, like he runs, and then he turns a corner and runs right into Michael. There's actually a second time that happens, and that's in the Halloween 2 sequel, where that's what the throwback's to, actually. There's a kid who's carrying a boombox in Halloween 2, the sequel, and he's walking down the street, and he kind of runs into Michael, and you can hear on the radio them talking about how Michael escaped and was killing people, and he literally runs into the killer and then just like walks on by. It's kind of cool. So yeah. And there's so many things to dig into in this movie. The first time I watched the trailer, I thought the insane asylum scene was a little off to me. It like didn't play well with me. This time when I watched it, I was a lot more interested in it. I don't know. How'd you feel about that part?
It's definitely, it's kind of weird and creepy in the way that they present it when they come in. It's just, I don't know. I think it does what it's supposed to do, though, the way that you're supposed to interpret it or perceive the setting that he's in, the asylum. It just kind of makes your hair stand up on the back of the neck. For me, it did on the back of my neck just a little bit. Seeing it, it's just a little weird.
Yeah, it's definitely like weird and creepy. The problem I have with it is a couple things. Is one, it's on, like, it's filmed on this, like, in this outdoor courtyard kind of area, right? And the courtyard is like a checkered, like a checkerboard almost, and it's like red and white checkers, and they're huge, and they go from like one side of the building through the other, like in their outdoor area, right? And as you can imagine, it's surrounded by gates and tall buildings and stuff. And then there's like all these dudes just like standing around outside handcuffed, you know? And when they go approach Michael in the background, you hear all the rest of the, you know, inmates like going crazy, which makes sense. Like they just start like, you know, giggling and like doing weird things. But then the one looks like he is just like going to town on himself in the background. Like you can just hear him making these weird noises. And then he's like shaking his hands back and forth. And, you know, they're stuck right in front of his crotch. So it looks like he's just going to town. Like that kind of takes away the moment for me, because I would envision this more or less like an inside event like happening where they go inside to see him and he's not like outside by himself in a courtyard with a bunch of other crazies. Like that's kind of the part that distracts me a little bit, if I'm honest.
It's distracting, but it paints a picture of just how fucking crazy he is and the setting and where he is, where he's actually living, right? So it's just pretty crazy all the way around. Yeah, and the checkerboard thing was what is kind of the backdrop of that scene. It's just weird. I don't know what else to compare it to for as far as movie wise, but yeah, the part where it looks like he's going to town on himself. I'm sure they're not giving a little bit of throwback to Silence of the Lambs where that guy's rubbing one out and throws it in her face. But
oh yeah. Yeah. It didn't play well with me the first couple times I watched the trailer. Now I'm used to it, so I'm kind of over it, but it just seemed a little out of place for me the way that that was happening. And where, you know, it just didn't sit right at first. I don't know why. It was more or less because I think, like, you know, it's outside, it's like real bright, and you know, you picture him in this insane asylum, like locked away, not allowed to go outside in a like dingy cage or something. You know, like that's what I always think of. So when they're actually like out there in the open, like to me it almost would have been better if they had him like sitting in a cell, kinda in the shadows where you still don't see his face and he just doesn't make any reaction to anything, and then they're, you know, in front of his cage or something trying to talk to him or something like that. Like, I feel like they could have played that one a little bit differently for me. That would have been better. But outside of that, I also need to see it in the full context of the movie, because, you know, you're only seeing a snippet in the trailer. So maybe it plays better when you actually see like the whole setup and then when they're out there, because, you know, obviously you get just kind of snippets of it pieced together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't see what leads up to that or what comes after that scene, right? So I mean, that's just like you said, it's a little snippet, and that would have been my perception too, would be if a guy like that's locked away, he's not in a bright shiny place like that. I would have fully expected him to be locked up like in an asylum, similar to what you see in American Horror Story or something like that from the asylum season.
But yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah, I agree 100%. It just, that didn't play well with me, but the rest of the trailer plays fantastic. The only other part I don't really care for is how Jamie Lee Curtis in this one is more or less a badass, you know, and she's playing like she was scared, so she's like got all these guns and she, you know, she's out to kill Michael. She's a Michael hunter in this movie now. And you know, that doesn't always play that well with me. Like, I would almost rather her play a similar role that she did in H2O, but obviously she already did it, so they're not going to go back to that well. But, you know, I would almost prefer the idea that she's, like, tormented by this in a way. But, again, it's, you're only seeing the snippets, right? But I would hope that she's, like, a little more tormented and, like, psychologically just unstable, because to me, they present it as she's like this badass Michael Hunter, and that he's going to come and she's going to hunt him down and kill him.
Right. Yeah. That part of the trailer kind of put me off just a little bit, where she's got that crazy look in her eye and she's pumping the shotgun and out in the woods.
Yeah. And that's okay. you know? I mean, I can understand that part of it too, but I also don't, it's almost overplayed in the trailer.
Right.
And so I just hope during the movie they don't play that up as much, and it's just more just like a little bit of a piece of the plot than it is like the focal point of her character in the story, because it's just, you know, it gets to be the point where, you know, you're like, okay, I get it, you're gonna fight him and he's gonna come and blah, blah, you know, like,
yeah,
it makes it too, like, I want it to be more or less where it seems like, you know, she's got it kind of in the back of her mind, but doesn't spend too much time thinking about it outside of like the trauma of the day that, you know, back in the 70s when this happened, you know,
right.
And that it just kind of, you know, you kind of see her dealing with a little bit of the torment of that past day, but you're not dealing with it, you know, I don't know, like she's not just training essentially for, like, it's almost like she's training for the Olympics, and the Olympics is Michael getting out and coming to kill her, you know? And yeah. I think that's unrealistic. Like, if you knew somebody got put away like that, and was in a mental institution, I don't think you would any longer be worried about them in that regard. Mm-hmm. Like, cause you've had, you know, quote unquote closure. So I would hate for that to be how she is the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of unrealistic to think of somebody wanting a person like that to be let out so they could kill them themselves, because it's completely opposite of trying to keep him from killing you in the first movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, I mean, I can kind of understand that in a way, you know, like playing that up where, you know, you think about this Golden State Killer case, and like this dude who's been tormenting people for, you know, he tormented people for over 10 years straight that you know of, and then he just disappears. And they couldn't find him. And then you've got these people who, their family, you know, who have been affected by this guy and everything. And like the horror that you live in, knowing he's still out there somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. And he was known to follow up and call you back later on and like just prank call you essentially. But it wasn't really a prank to you because you had a very traumatic event and experience with this man. So I can understand like watching that case unfold live, like how a victim would feel going forward. Right. But in this case, he was caught. It's not like Michael wasn't caught and he was just still out there somewhere and you're like randomly hoping he doesn't show up again. But he was caught. So that's, you know, your quote unquote closure. And that's what a lot of those victims are talking about. They're like, yeah, it brought up a lot of memories again, but I feel safer now knowing he's locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I feel like she should feel that way. So I don't know. Those are minor, very minor nitpicky details I have, you know, to complain about in this trailer, but otherwise I find it to be just entertaining and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I definitely want to see it based on what we see in the trailer. And like I said, the production quality and everything that they're playing to in that trailer, I think it's going to be an outstanding movie.
I do too. Maybe you guys will have to come up here and we'll go watch it and get some George's Lounge.
Yeah. Definitely. I don't know if I can talk my wife into doing it though, because we had a Halloween party 5-6 years ago, and we were having, it was an adult Halloween party, so people were coming over, you know, we're just hanging out drinking. Some people were dressed up, some people weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But this was before we moved into the place that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pair of those mechanic like coveralls, and I have the mask, and I slipped away. Because my wife, she's the social butterfly. She's going around talking to everybody and kind of loses track of, you know, sometimes where people are. So I found an opportunity to slip outside on the deck, pitch black, no lights, no security lights outside.
Uh-huh.
I put all that shit on and start walking really slowly back and forth in front of the sliding glass door. And you can't really see unless I get up real close to the window,
right,
to get the light from inside of the house. And I scared the fucking shit out of a couple people. That was awesome.
Oh my God. That is so good. Yeah. I have the same thing. I have the coveralls and the mask, and I would, when I was dating my wife, I would always go over to her house, and we would, you know, she has a younger brother who was trick or treat age, you know, so he would go trick or treating and his mom would take him around, and I would man the candy dish at her house.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put on my coveralls and my Michael mask, and I would sit in a chair and hold the bowl, and then people would come up and I would just sit completely still, and they would, you know, be really scared. Like, but I didn't even do anything, and they were just like, you know, afraid to reach in and grab candy. but then they would, and I would stand up, and then they would all take off running and screaming down the street. It was so funny.
And like, yeah, because they have that thought in their mind of, is this real or is this just a prop?
And oh, when you jump constantly.
Up, like, oh, shit, it's real.
Do you know how many adults I scared who were standing there with their kids, and all of a sudden I would just stand up and everybody would go running? Yeah. You have grown-ass women just taking off running down the street. It was good.
Lucky you didn't get kicked in the balls.
I am lucky I didn't get kicked in the balls. You know, this was a different time. This was about 10 years ago before we became like a complete snowflake. So, you know, it was pretty good. It was fun. I miss those days. And then in my new neighborhood, everyone's like 100 years old. So we literally didn't have a single trick-or-treater last year. I bought all this candy and nobody came.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And if you scared the shit out of one of them, they'd probably die on their porch. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we didn't deal with that. Eh. Anyway, you know, it was good stuff. So so we have a we have a segue over here to the sports world where we've got this shit going on with Jameis Winston. What in the hell's going on with this guy?
Yeah, so I've been following this the last few days, and I mean, it's all over ESPN, all over most of the sports shows. People are talking about it, but apparently what happened, just a summary, apparently in 2016, Jameis Winston, I'm not even sure what city he was in, but he was taking an Uber somewhere, and he was with some of his buddies, and turns out Winston decided to grab the crotch of the Uber driver before they got out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I haven't listened to any of this, by the way. So you're telling me this for the first time. I've seen the headlines about him getting in trouble. I never read the details.
Yeah. So basically what happened, I think there was a couple other people with him in the car. It's kind of sketchy on the details of who was in the car when it happened, you know, and they kind of tried to paint the picture of, is the Uber driver really telling the truth? Is there anybody else that witnessed what happened? But turns out she didn't press official charges for assault, which I'm hoping that – I wish that she would have, because this probably would have been a whole lot different story.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens was she went and had an interview with, I think, BuzzFeed, and gave them the details of what happened. And this got back to the NFL, and they, you know, obviously they have their own investigation panel and personal conduct policy that they go by. So you get to the point of the investigation, and it seems like they wrap this investigation up super, super quick. And I don't know the details of the deal that he made with the NFL, but essentially he got suspended for 3 games and completely got off the hook from a personal conduct standpoint. Like, they can't suspend him again if something comes up later down the road. If she was to press charges, well, obviously, if she was to press official charges and he was to be prosecuted legally through the legal system, you know, that comes with its own punishment. But the uproar is, you only give this guy 3 games for sexually assaulting somebody, essentially. You know, it's an accusation by somebody that didn't press charges, and there's probably no real video or photo evidence of what happened. But, you know, I don't know if, and I don't know if the NFL is erring on the side of caution. You know, we're going to throw 3 games at this guy, try to make an example of him so somebody doesn't do that, you know, down the road. It's just, it's completely crazy to me.
Yeah, I was reading from ESPN at the bottom of the article. It says, could he face more trouble off the field from this incident? And it says, absolutely he could. Many people connected with the situation believe Winston's accuser will eventually file charges, more likely civil than criminal, against Winston. And it's possible that she and her attorneys have been waiting for the league to act before bringing charges, presenting their case, as the resolution of the case from the NFL standpoint could be a factor in any eventual court proceedings. Another violation of the personal conduct policy in the future would mean more substantial discipline, including a potential ban from the NFL, according to the league statement. So he could potentially get kicked out for this if he gets charged and then probably proven guilty. You know, and how does this correlate to his college days where he was stealing crab legs from a supermarket? This is not a good look for your quarterback, man.
Not even that. I mean, he got in trouble for, I think he was in the common area where they were having lunch or something when he was on campus, and jumped on the table and grabbed his dick and started yelling profanities at people. So the guy's obviously...
Didn't he yell fucker in the pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was him? Yeah.
Yep, it's him.
Oh my God. Yeah, this guy, he's a lunatic. I mean, clearly, he's a complete nutcase. You know, you're going to probably blame CTE.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was like, oh, he took too many hits to the head, so that justifies his right to grab his dick and say, fuck him in the pussy and grab pussy and all this other stuff. But yeah, we're only going to give him 3-game suspension and we're going to let it ride. But then you got, they tout that they're so, you know, focused on domestic violence and things. So, but you know, domestic violence is terrible and these guys that are beating women should be kicked out of the league, but sexual assault's right up there too. I mean,
100%. You know, it's funny how this all is kind of unfolding lately. And the NFL seems to botch this shit more often than not. And I don't understand why they can't get it right. You know, how hard is it to punish somebody for doing something horrible? For instance, do you recall the Ray Rice incident where he punched his girlfriend or fiance in the face and dropped her in an elevator? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got
country, knocked her fucking out.
Yeah. He knocked her the fuck out. And then he got 2 games initially. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And NFL was like, 2 games. They had the video. And then all of a sudden the video gets released to the public and everyone starts freaking out. And it's like, you hear domestic violence. We hear it so much. Nobody thinks anything of it, really. I mean, everyone's kind of like, 2 games. That seems really light. And then the video comes out and everyone's like, no, this dude needs to be kicked out. You know? And eventually, that's kind of what happened. He kind of got blacklisted, I think, from teams, and then just he was older and no one wanted him anymore. But it's like, how is it so hard to get that right? You know, you have the power to kick these people out and make an example of them the minute this happens. Just don't, you know, no bullshit. Just this guy's done. Like, he's beating women on video, punching them in the face. You don't kick him out of the league for that? Like, what kind of league are you? Who do you want these people in your league?
Right,
Fuck out of here. I'd rather have lesser competition in my league and have cleaner people than I would the other way around, because I can market those people. You know what I mean? Like, the NFL's not going anywhere. People love football. They're going to forget about Ray Rice 2 minutes later. They already did. But then, you know, like, you have shit like this happen, and he gets a couple games, which, okay, it's all on allegations right now, so I can kind of understand where they're at with that. But if this guy gets convicted of this offense later on, if she files charges and he gets convicted, I would kick his ass out. Make an example of him. He was a star quarterback on a franchise. Sorry, dude. Get out of here. We don't have time for this stuff. Like, you know, right. We expect you guys to behave better than this. And until you actually prove to the players that you're willing to discipline them in a way that really makes sense, mm-hmm. you know, this shit will keep happening at a high clip, because there's really no punishment. They're making millions of dollars, they lose a couple of game checks, and they're done, and they're back in the league. It's like, okay, well, in this case, if you are charged with sexually assaulting people, I would not want my employees walking around sexually assaulting people. Get the fuck out of here. You know?
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's in the normal everyday workforce can't go around sexually assaulting people. It's no different for a guy who plays football.
No. Period. No, that's exactly it. You have to look at this as an employer-employee relationship, right? And, you know, I know of people who've gotten fired for text messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. between two people. No one else knew about them. It was two people texting each other, and I know somebody who was fired for this, and it was ridiculous. So if they're able to do those kinds of things to people, why are you letting your players run around punching women, beating them, you know, selling drugs or stealing, you know, those kinds of things? Get rid of these people. Clean up your league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go out on a limb and say that there's probably more guys in the league that enjoy playing the game and making a really nice living and avoiding all that shit.
Absolutely. But
there's this handful of dirtbags that do this stuff.
And they're in every league, too. You know, there's baseball players that do this shit. There's NBA players. There's the NFL. You know, like, every league has this problem to some degree.
Yep. And just get rid of them. They're gonna wither away and go away on their own. They're either going to do something to get themselves into the prison system, like Kellen Winslow and some of these other idiots, Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
Just let let things take care of themselves after you kick him out of the league. To hell with them. You don't need him. You're going to have another guy that's going to come in and is going to be just as talented, that wants to be there and wants to do the right thing. These handful of idiots, send them fucking packing.
I agree, man. Like, because, you know, say that Jameis Winston gets convicted and he gets like a, say, like a year ban or something, and he comes back. Mm-hmm. I'm the Buccaneers. I've got to market this guy as my top flight QB now. I got kids looking up to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's what you want? You want to market this dude, the sexual assaulter, who's actually got a track record on top of it of doing stupid things, and you're going to use him as the face of your franchise? Like, I know, sorry, Tampa Bay, you're going to lose like your star quarterback or whatever, but at the end of the day, man.
There'll be another one in next year's draft.
Yeah, well, the Browns can never find him, so they might not be able to either. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, we shouldn't be keeping these guys around too long. I don't think. I think it looks bad. It looks really bad. Clean this shit up. Like, we don't need this. We're all adults here. We understand what's going on. These people, you know, you have a presumption of responsibility when you become an athlete that you are going to be a role model whether you want to or not. Charles Barkley. And so you need to act as such, and you need to, you know, carry yourself in a way that the public can look up to you, because they're just going to, right? It's just the nature of it. And if you can't handle that, then you don't belong there.
Yeah. So you alluded to Charles Barkley. It's not okay to throw people through windows and spit on your fans?
No, not cool.
Not cool. I didn't think it was, but I just wanted to double check.
Not cool.
Scum!
Yeah, big time. But on the flip side of this whole thing, I'm a little bit surprised that from the Uber side, I know that they do a lot of things to try to protect their drivers, you know, from attacks or whatever. There's been people killed being Uber drivers. And I've only used the service a couple times, but every car that I've ever ridden in, they have a camera in there that's recording the rides. I'm surprised that there's, unless she's talking to an attorney and an attorney's kind of put a gag order in place for that kind of shit, and it's going to come out at a later date.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering. It might be kind of one of those, we're hanging on to this for a little while.
Yeah. This is our lottery ticket.
Well, and that might be how the NFL found out. They might have seen this video, because like they did with Ray Rice, and nobody had seen it except for them.
Yeah, they had full knowledge of it. They had the video of Ray Rice punching his wife in the face and dragging her unconscious body out of a fucking elevator. And Jesus. That's what the punishment was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I don't understand.
It's a crotch party right up in here.
too soon?
Yeah, too soon.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I feel bad for that woman. I hope that, you know, she doesn't have to deal with this too much longer, and that he gets the proper justice if he did do it. And that hopefully the NFL has the balls to actually punish somebody for doing something stupid like this with a track record and get them out of the league. I mean, it's just asinine at this point.
So, well, good on Uber. They deleted his account, so he can't ride Uber no more. So hats off to Uber for deleting that account.
Wow. One thing they finally have done correctly.
Yeah. He's just going to go pick up Lyft and.
Yeah. Then. Exactly. So, in other sports related news that you just can't get away from, we've got LeBron opting out of his contract yesterday. What do you make of this?
Lots of things. I mean, we knew it was going to happen. He opted out of a $35.6 million option, which means he's going to make more money than that, depending on where he signs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the interesting thing is it's the rumor mill is crazy, and it all depends on what teams land, what players. And I think if he has an idea in his head of what he wants in place in Cleveland to stay, and he also has an idea outside of that what can happen somewhere else. So everybody always says that LeBron's the real Cavaliers general manager. So in his general manager mindset, he knows what pieces he wants where. It's just a matter of who can make it happen.
Yeah, I find this kind of interesting because in 2014, in his letter that he wrote when he came back, he said he was going to play here for the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I will be a little bit surprised if he leaves. I really will be. And I just find it, you know, obviously, like, you're going to opt out because it just makes sense for him. I believe financially he ends up winning out by opting out and then signing somewhere. The Cavs can obviously offer him the most money over a 5-year contract. I don't know if that's true over a single year contract, which is what he keeps signing, is these single years with the player option to opt in.
Right.
And so I don't know if the money works out, but it would be interesting to see. I've seen a lot of rumors, too, that the Cavs have a lot of trades just, like, lined up to go. Mm-hmm. But they're very, very quietly reported. Like, you see a couple glimpses of this through some channels, and then all of a sudden, like, and then all you really read is LeBron's going to the Lakers. That's all I see. Like, it's just bloated with this. And so, in relation to that, there's a story that's been going around about Dan Gilbert can't wait till LeBron leaves because he'll finally get his team back. I think that's a fucking bogus story.
Right. I was going to allude to is, are they keeping quiet? Because if LeBron does say fuck you, they have some pieces in place to try to pick up where they left off.
I don't necessarily think they have that. I think they have trades lined up to keep LeBron.
Mm-hmm. And I hope so.
I mean, I don't know. And I don't know, you know, you obviously have to have other teams involved who are going to do these things and agree to them and all that stuff, right? And so, like, there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that are out of our control. But the Cavs have been eerily quiet. And that leads me to believe I still kind of feel something's brewing on their side. I don't count them out just yet. And and so the story about Dan Gilbert started going around yesterday, and I started going all over Twitter yelling at people for spreading this crap. I think it's a fake story, fake news. I think that you've got people out there. I'm guessing this is coming out of LA somewhere, probably from Stephen Asshole Smith, who's out there running his fucking trap again, saying stupid shit because that guy's a moron, and I don't know why anybody listens to this idiot. Talk about somebody who deserves to just get banned from the media. That guy, he just go away. You're just a fucking idiot, and no one likes you. So he keeps saying, like, oh, yeah, I've heard from several other sources and NBA executives that Dan Gilbert can't wait for LeBron to leave so he can finally get his team back. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. Yep. He begged LeBron to come back when LeBron said he wanted to come back. He's like, all about it. Yeah. Okay. We will go win a championship. You know, we're in the NBA finals 4 straight years, making all this extra money in the playoffs. Yeah. I want you to go away. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I buy that for 2 seconds. Not
right.
Like,
right.
Just think about it, guys. Think about that logically for a minute. Would you actually want LeBron to leave? Do you know how much money Dan Gilbert's making just from LeBron's presence on the floor?
A ton of money. The city of Cleveland makes so much money from LeBron playing in Cleveland.
Well, yeah, any city will. Yep.
Yeah, they have the huge mural downtown hanging on the side of the building. It's like kind of your welcome to Cleveland advertisement.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, like LeBron's, you know, once in a generation player. He's phenomenal. We're lucky he was from here because otherwise we would never have had him on our team besides when we drafted him. Originally, he probably would have got out of here way sooner. And and that's awesome. And we hope that he stays. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be too mad if he leaves. If he wants to go build a team to beat the Warriors, I understand the Cavs kind of got ham-hocked, but yeah, I think he has a lot to do with that too. He won't play with younger players, and you know, so the Cavs are always trying to keep him happy, and I feel like he has a lot of input on what they do and how they do it. And you right. know, he tries to pretend he doesn't, and I don't believe that for any minute. I just don't believe it. I think he's got a lot to do with it. Now maybe he doesn't deal with the business side, but a lot of the guys that he gets are guys that are represented by his management firm, and so you know right. he's trying to get them paid, you know. And I respect that, but at the same time, you know, you couldn't predict that Kyrie Irving would want to get shipped out of here. Mm-hmm. And then LeBron doesn't help by not committing to the future, where they would say, okay, well, we'll trade Kevin Love and go get Paul George and we'll do these things, but you won't commit to us, so I don't want to wreck my franchise because you hold us hostage, you know. So right. they don't want to go giving away the farm to not know LeBron's going to be around. which just seems kind of stupid to me. Like, if you're LeBron James, like, I do understand wanting to have the ability to go where you want to go, but at the same time, you, like, you need to give the Cavs some direction so that they can guide their organization in a way that helps you win championships.
Yeah, they have to be able to plan. They have to be able to – there has to be a plan A and a plan B, and if you won't say what you're going to do, it kind of makes both of those things hard to do. Plan A is have LeBron and build a team that he wants, or plan B is what the hell do we got to do if he leaves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so they can't – they don't want to hamstring themselves like they did last time, you know, when he left and left us kind of just holding our dick in the hand, you know, just like sitting there. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? You know, I just can't understand that. And I don't know how much of it is underreported or overreported or not, you know, whatever, but I just don't get the feeling he works with the Cavs when he goes into this mode, which is bizarre. It just seems odd. You'd think that you would, you know, want to work with the organization to maximize your chances of winning, and they could. You that's the thing. Like, this is all doable stuff. You don't have to be so secretive, but he likes to have the power.
Right. And you brought up a good point about how much money he makes Dan Gilbert being in the building. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that Gilbert's dumping $140 million into the queue for renovations. So I'm sure he wants some return on that investment. And LeBron is the easiest way to get that return.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't buy that story for 2 seconds that Dan Gilbert doesn't want LeBron on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You want to go from winning, you know, 50, 60 games a year and in the NBA finals for 4 straight years to winning 10 games, 20 games. No, you don't. You don't want to do that. That's just stupid. Think logically, people. This is fake news. You guys are a bunch of morons. Somebody in LA or Stephen A. Smith, one of these morons, you know, is perpetuating this crap. Just like Stephen A. Smith was perpetuating that LeBron was texting KD about joining up in LA. That didn't even happen. Several sources have debunked that report. So, Stephen A., you're just a fucking moron. You need to get a life. You know, get your facts straight, you dipshit.
Yeah, hashtag shut the fuck up. Just like the tweet that I put out there about him. And hopefully we can close the Stephen A. Smith discussion with this. He put out a tweet that said, if LeBron does go to the Lakers, which, if all your sources are correct, why are you saying if LeBron goes to the Lakers? Apparently he is going to the Lakers, but that's aside from the point. He said that the Lakers would not be championship contenders with a LeBron on the team. Give me a fucking break. We talked about this last time about the teams that he's drugged to the championships. You cannot tell me that if he joins the Lakers organization that – I would go out on a limb and say they're probably a 2 or 3 seed in the West. Hands down.
Yeah, definitely. That's the other part of this whole thing that I just don't understand. Why would LeBron go West? He's got 8 straight finals appearances and a pretty easy path through the East. Why in the hell would he go to the Lakers, where you have to play the Warriors and the Rockets and play them in the playoffs to even get to the finals?
Well, imagine this storyline. Let's say he does go to the Lakers. Let's say he picks up a couple good players to build the team around. You know, they've had a couple good draft picks because they've sucked balls for the last 2 or 3 seasons. Let's say he does go to Lakers. Year one, right out of the gate, he takes them to the finals. They knock off Golden State. Yay. I don't have to worry about them in the finals. But in the East, look how far Boston Celtics got without their 1 and 2 guy. They didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have Gordon Hayward. Those are the number one and number two guys on their roster. Think of how epic a Boston Lakers finals would be with LeBron on the Lakers, Kyrie on the Celtics. Everybody's healthy. Completely new finals. I think that'd be pretty fucking sweet, in my opinion. Not that I want him to leave and go to the Lakers, but hypothetically, think about that finals matchup.
Who would you root for?
I would probably root for the Lakers, because not to get on that bandwagon.
Pains me so hard. I hate Boston too, though. I hate both those franchises. Oh, man. Yeah. That would be an interesting... I probably would root for LeBron.
Yeah, I would root for LeBron. I wouldn't root for the Lakers in general because, you know, I know Lamar Ball sitting on the sidelines licking his chops that his son's going to get a championship ring. Not because your son earned it, you faggot. It's because he brought on your team and you got it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. If LeBron goes to the Lakers, Lonzo's not on that team anymore. You have to get rid of him because nobody wants LeVar Ball around. That guy's a douchebag.
That might be one of his stipulations. He's like, I want this. I want to play with this guy, and this guy. But you got to get rid of this fuckhead. I don't want him on the sidelines trying to sell his fucking stupid-looking $500 tennis shoes that are shit.
Yeah, I don't understand. This is the whole thing. Like, the whole Lakers scenario just makes no sense to me almost in every scenario possible. Mm-hmm. You have Lonzo Ball currently on the team, right? He could get traded. You have LeVar Ball along with that, right? So that's a huge negative right there. And then there's nobody else on the roster worth playing with that's that much better than anybody currently on the Cavs roster. And then the Spurs have been said they won't trade to the West, so you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard. And Paul George may or may not sign there this season.
Right.
And then you have to go through the Rockets and through the Warriors to even make the finals. So, again, tell me how this makes sense.
Right, it doesn't make sense. And we know that Durant is not going to go to the Lakers.
No, Durant's staying on the Warriors. I'm not even worried about that guy. He said he was re-signing a long time ago. I'm pretty sure he's staying over there. And why would you leave? You just won a championship. I mean, this seems silly. So the only possible scenario that I can find where this makes any sense is if Paul George goes there and signs like day one, and then somehow they can trade for Kawhi Leonard. Because I still don't think that just Paul George alone is enough for LeBron to go over there. And I don't know, what about Chris Paul? He hasn't re-signed with the Rockets yet, as far as I know.
No, and the Rockets make more sense to me. If Chris Paul stays there, James Harden, could you imagine LeBron just dropping into that lineup?
Well, there you go. That makes complete sense. I would say, okay, this rumor makes some sense to me. Going to the Lakers makes no sense. I feel like it's just the LA media like stirring up the pot, and the fans are getting crazy, and you know, they're stir crazy because they've sucked for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. So,
right.
Yeah, I just don't buy this LA stuff. I will be in shock if that's the place he picks. Now, if he leaves the Cavs, I'm not going to be completely shocked, but going to LA will shock me. I don't think it's the Lakers at all.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope he stays in Cleveland, finishes his career. I wish he would just sign the 5-year deal, $41 million a year guaranteed for 5 years, and retires a Cav.
I wish he'd sign a 1-year, $10 million deal and let us pick up some other players a little easier.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I wish he would make our lives a little easier from a salary cap perspective, even though I don't think that would really matter that much. I think they're pretty ham-hocked right now. But they gotta ship a lot of these guys out of here. But again, I still think they can do that. I don't know that they're going to be pulling in the likes of Kawhi Leonard. I think they can make a really nice team, though, around LeBron if they really, you know, have the ability to execute on some trades. If they'd get some commitment from LeBron, I think they'd pull some strings a little harder, and that's kind of where I'm at with that. Hopefully they wise up and they're able to, you know, go knock this out relatively quick. Hopefully he just resigns. I kind of see him resigning for one more year and then evaluating whether or not it's worth staying on the Cavs again.
After the whole J.R. Smith game one debacle, do you think he's going to be there next season if LeBron stays?
I think he's gone by at least the trade deadline.
Yeah. I can't wait for those memes where you get the meme of the still shot of him holding his hands out where he's saying, I thought we had a timeout. but then they take that and then they superimpose it out on the sidewalk outside of the queue. Huh? What? Where am I?
Well, I think if LeBron leaves, they should put that picture of LeBron and JR on the side of the Sherwin-Williams building. It should say, JR, look what you made me do.
Wait a minute, it wasn't me.
Yeah. This is your fault I went to LA. Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So to wrap things up here, we've got our local spotlight special. So wanted to talk about a place that that is near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. Out in good old Worcester, Ohio.
Wait, before you go any further, is it Worcester or is it Wooster?
I say Worcester.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I actually, I did some work for a company out in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled Worcester. They call it Worcester. So, I don't know. Fuck Boston. Anyway, Worcester, Ohio, we got the Kocha House. This place is a pizza joint out in Worcester, and it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, you have been there way more than I have, but we went there together, actually, and it was pretty fucking delicious.
Yeah. They're very well known for the pizza at the Kocha House, but they do have a good selection of other Italian food. I mean, the old guy that owns the place, straight up Italian, probably the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always there greeting customers, talking to customers. I've seen him sitting people at tables. This dude is 90 years old.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Just an all-around great place. But I can't speak to a lot of the items on the menu because I always go to my crutch, which is the pepperoni and sausage pizza with double cheese and pepperoni on top that's nice and crispy. Oh, holy cow.
Dude, you're making my stomach growl. Yeah, so the thing about this place, right, their pizza is pretty thick, right? There's a lot of crust going on, if I remember correctly. It's been a little while. And a ton of cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost better the second day.
I think it is better the second day. It's one of those pizzas where some of them just taste like complete and total crap the next day. But Kocha House pizza the next day. And some people think this is gross, but I don't even warm it up, dude. Pull it out of the fridge and eat it. It's the best cold pizza ever.
It is so good. It's very garlicky,
mm-hmm.
which I love, but not everybody does. It's very garlicky, covered and smothered in cheese, and it is just, I mean, it needs like 24 hours to congeal. And then when it's all like together like that, oh, dude, it is next level. It is good hot. It was even better the next day. Like, I heated mine a little bit, and oh, dude, it makes my stomach growl. I can't get that taste out of my mouth. It is so good. I loved it. I highly recommend this place. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And just to, I know this wasn't on our agenda, but just to throw out another local spot in Worcester, the JAFB Brewery. I think when we went to dinner at Kocha House that day, we actually, I don't remember if we took any of our pizza that was left over to JAFB, but Kocha House pizza and a nice tall dark porter from JFB.
Oh, fuck, dude. It. Yeah, they had the coffee porter. That was fantastic too. We did go over there. I think we might have went to the brewery first and then went over and got pizza, if I remember.
We did. But a lot of people get Kocha House because they don't really serve food at the brewery, but they more than welcome you to bring your own food in and sit there and eat and drink. So,
and JAFB stands for
just another fucking brewery.
I love it. Yeah, that was good. Hey, that is true too. That's not a joke. And they make some awesome brews. Since then I've stopped drinking. I'm pretty much allergic to alcohol, I've decided. So I just don't drink it. It makes me feel like complete garbage after just like one drink. So it's not like hey dude, you just drink way too many beers and you feel like shit. As soon as I start drinking them, I get all nasty feeling, all itchy and hot and red, and yeah, it's just no good. So I kind of stopped. So I probably won't ever hit up JAFB again, but that we did go there and they had a coffee porter, and oh my God, it was amazing. And I'm not super big into like crazy beers or anything like that. But that was top notch.
Yeah. Their coffee porter is phenomenal, and their brown ale, their brown and red ale are both really good.
Really good. I'm starving now. I need to go make breakfast.
I wish I had some Kocha House pizza left over in the fridge. I will say Kocha House is fantastic, hot, cold, next day, whatever. But for those people that are not garlic fans, it does make your refrigerator smell. When you open up the door, it's like Bigfoot waves his dick in your face and wafts the garlic smell. You can't even describe until you witness it in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's so good. It's not a deterrent at all. If you like garlic and you like good, authentic Italian pizza, that's a place to go.
Yeah, that place is delicious. Yeah, so check it out. Check out the Coach House in Worcester if you get a chance. It's really awesome. Craig and I like to, you know, eat at some of the local joints around here. So I thought it'd be good for us to kind of pass it along to some of the folks on that do listen that haven't had a chance to check these places out. They're really good, really good places to go. So if you get a chance, go check out the Coach House. It's in Worcester. It's it almost looks like it's in a house. It's kind of goofy looking building. You wouldn't really notice it right away. And go check it out. It's awesome. Good pizza, good leftovers. So yeah, go get yourself some.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, it's about that time to wrap up. You have any parting words?
No parting words here. We're supposed to know, supposedly from all these sources, where LeBron's going on July 3rd. So we'll have a lot to talk about on Thursday if that happens.
Yeah, and you know, maybe if we have a chance, maybe we do a special edition show on LeBron's decision. If we catch wind of it in time and can get together.
Yeah, definitely. If things fall in place, we'll try to get those thoughts together as soon as we can.
Sounds good. All right, everyone. See you next time.
All right, motherfuckers, the show is over. Subscribe to our show anywhere you get your podcasts, and do not forget to follow us on Twitter at Prodwackers or on Instagram at Prodwackers. And remember, every time you yawn, there is a ghost trying to put his wiener in your mouth. See you next time.